The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for, professional medical advice.
Sweaty and pissed, menopause makes me sweaty and pissed.
Hi, welcome back to Sweaty and Pissed. All about menopause and more. And I'm Karen Nickel, family nurse practitioner, and joining me is
Leanne Morgan, stand-up comedian, and somebody that's sweaty and pissed. Not too bad. I'm not pissed. I'm sweaty.
Yeah, we've both been through it, so we know what you're dealing with out there. So, and last time we talked about perimenopause, sort of in general, some of the things that happen during perimenopause, and those are the years, peri means around. So around menopause happens usually age 35 to 50. And so one of the big things that happens is estrogen levels tend to go up and tend to be unstable. They're up and down. And progesterone really drops. So we're just going to talk about some of the things that happen when that imbalance occurs and some of the things we can do about it.
Oh, good. Okay.
I know. So, you know, estrogen, I don't want estrogen to sound like the bad guy, although I know you felt like it was.
I felt, yes.
The bad guy hormone.
Yes, because I all of a sudden had a big gob of estrogen, which makes, it changes hair. My breasts were the size of watermelons, felt heavy, and I would look in the mirror as I walked by, like in a Walmart glass, and think, oh, look at her, bless her heart. And I realized it was me. I thought, whose breasts are those? I mean, they took on their own new personality. So, yes, that. And
yeah, so
what else does estrogen, high estrogen, make you go through?
So high estrogen, mood changes. People get real moody. Irritable. Yeah.
Do you think things that you never thought before, do women, like when that's happening to your body, we've mentioned in the first episode about somebody going through a perimenopause and the changes that are similar to a little girl going through middle school. So I started emotionally going through things or thinking things that I have not ever experienced.
Yeah.
Like with friendships or relationships. I mean, it seemed like everything, I just could not cope as effectively as I have always been able to.
Yeah.
Things that I didn't care about. Yeah. All of a sudden I cared about that were stupid. And I was embarrassed that I would even care about that. And I thought, what is wrong with me? And it's very similar when my children went through middle school.
Yeah. They become different. It feels like they become different people. Well, I ask women who come in for a hormone evaluation, I ask them, do you feel like an alien being has taken over your body? And they look at me like, oh my God, she knows what it, because it feels like you're channeling someone else sometimes.
Yes, I think you said that to me.
Yeah. People feel like their personality is not the same. They don't react the same way to things. And really it's about balancing those two hormones, especially the progesterone and estrogen, to help that.
Okay. When you saw me, I had bottomed out. I had no progesterone, but I had too much estrogen.
Yeah. So it's hard for women to think, oh, why am I lowering my estrogen? I'm having these sort of menopausal type symptoms like night sweats. Don't I have too little estrogen? And it's hard for people to understand that you can have the same symptoms with low estrogen and high estrogen. Night sweats, foggy thinking, low libido. The big difference is with high estrogen, we tend to have breast fullness and breast tenderness. Yeah. So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is the some of the things that we can do to help prevent driving up our estrogen.
Now, oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. So our ovaries are going to do that anyway in perimenopause. They're going to, secrete out a lot of estrogen, sort of the last hurrah. And but there are things that you can do because there are substances that are called xenoestrogens, and they behave like estrogen in your body, but they're not actual hormones that you're taking in. And the things that can act like xenoestrogens include mineral oils. So, you know, unfortunately, in this time of life, people also have dry skin, so they're slathering
mineral on.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at your lotion contents, most of those have mineral oil in it. So you need to be mindful of picking up skin lotions that are mineral oil free.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, mm-hmm. you're just absorbing that. I mean, skin is a very absorptive organ, so it's going to absorb all that petroleum, which is also, you know, mineral oil and petroleum are both petroleum products. So Vaseline type.
Oh, yeah. Put it on the bottom of your feet, yeah. So your feet are not crusty.
Yeah.
And then that's going in the bottom of your feet. Because how long does it take for something to go in your skin?
Oh,
you know,
it absorbs
seconds?
Quickly. Well, you know, minutes and hours. It will absorb over time, you know, over a few hours. So
like a patch would, or
yeah, or if you use topical hormones, it, you know, absorbs over about 6 hours. So avoiding those things. If you heat up food in plastics, like in your microwave, that plastic leaches xenoestrogen into your food. Yeah, a lot of people zap their food in plastic in a microwave, and clear plastic water bottles.
Bottles are killing us. Are they?
I knew it all along. Yeah. So
and we're not supposed to be drinking out of those.
No.
So you're supposed to be drinking out of stainless steel.
Yeah, or get
glass bottles.
Yeah, get a container that is either glass or opaque, because the light going through it makes it worse too.
You know, Sheryl Crow said that's what did it to her.
Oh, really?
Was drinking water bottles when she got breast cancer.
Oh.
From when she? Yes, I read an article about. She said that. That she, you know, has been on the road and there was a hot water bottle always in the car and she drank it, which has worried me. I know I've thought about that, but my kids, I don't know what it is about kids in their 20s. You don't believe how many bottles we have. I mean, I'm cleaning bottles all the time.
Water bottles everywhere.
But I'm so thankful because I've got, you know, 3 children, 2 girls and a bottle. I don't want all that. Okay, I've gone to Ulta or, you know, Walmart, Target, wherever. And there's not many lotions that do not have all that mess in it. I found like Dr. Booth was one, Dr. Bronner's.
Mm-hmm.
I've also wondered about soap. What about soap?
You know, I don't know that a lot of, maybe some liquid soaps have, I don't know if bar soap would really be a problem.
Okay, but what about fragrance?
But the fewer ingredients in things you put on your skin, the better. I mean, if worse comes to worse, use coconut oil. Because it's all that's in there is coconut oil.
Okay, so that's good for hair and skin. And I hate to say this in front of your child, but
as a lubricant. Yeah, yeah.
And he's a grown man.
Yeah.
But... He's a baby to me, but as a lubricant,
yeah.
Because that is odorless, tasteless, all that. Okay. So do women need to worry about cosmetics?
Yeah. So the same thing with, you know, especially foundation, you know, liquid things are
okay.
You know,
so try to go mineral free.
Mm-hmm.
When it says sulfites are in wine. Is it sulfates?
Somehow we always get back to wine. What's up with that?
Parabens and sulfates. Yeah. What do they do? Do they do anything crazy?
Well, I think any kind of like parabens and any kind of preservative is not good.
And they're in everything.
I know.
You've really got to search out and find a natural, organic, no mineral, no paraben, no sulfates, and no petroleum. Right. Products.
Right. So the fewer ingredients in a food or any product you buy, the better.
And don't warm up anything in a plastic container.
I know.
So you need the glass.
Mm-hmm.
Corningware. I know you were raised out west.
Yes.
More Midwest, but my people, everybody had Corning Ware, but also Cool Whip. You know, some little, I'm from the country. You don't throw away a Cool Whip container because you can use that, you know, to put
all kinds of,
I
don't know when Tupperware came about, but I think those Cool Whip containers were about pre-Tupperware.
Maybe.
Food storage.
And honey, Tupperware, wasn't that a, I mean, I loved a Tupperware party. I used to go with my mama and she'd smoke with her friends, honey, and they'd drink Tab and buy a bunch of Tupperware.
Well, did your family get their Corningware at the grocery store? You know, you would buy a certain number of things and you would get a free
piece stamps.
And then you tried to get the whole set.
Yes. But then I got them in my wedding shower because that was the thing. Yeah. But, you know, I've loved my Corningware.
I know.
Okay. And so you can get glass containers to put your food in and warm them up in. Yep. Okay.
So... And we talked last time about using milk thistle caps.
Yes.
Over-the-counter milk thistle and over-the-counter DIM, diindole methylene, which comes from cruciferous vegetables. Both of those things will lower estrogen in your body. And B6 will also do that. Don't take more than 100 milligrams of B6.
And you can find those things at health food stores and Earth Fair, Whole Foods.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the DIM, you pretty much have to go to a health food store for that. But milk thistle is, you know, pretty much every pharmacy carries some milk thistle. The other things that are important are supporting the adrenal glands. And we're going to have an episode or two or three about
adrenals, because that's how important they are.
Because when you're stressed, they secrete cortisol in chronic stress. And if you put too much demand on them and they can't give you enough cortisol, they start secreting estrogen.
I know. You probably told me this and I forgot it because I was in brain fog.
Yes. Yeah, so,
and cortisol is stressed out.
That's
cortisol
right.
makes fat around your stomach, right?
Right. Yeah, when it's high.
Oh, yay.
Plus, when cortisol is high, it makes insulin high. And insulin sends a fat storage message. And when cortisol and insulin are high, testosterone goes up too. And then we get the PCOS type symptoms.
What?
It's hair, all connected.
Yeah. Hair growth in places.
Yep.
And
irregular periods, acne, oily skin, hair loss.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Everything's connected. Nothing runs all by its little lonesome in our body, so it gets complicated. Leanne, you're looking at me with a face of horror.
I'm tired today, and I thought, oh, what's the point of going on? But no, I don't mean that. It's just a lot. And I remember you telling me stuff, and it was hard for me to keep it all straight.
Well, it's a lot. The endocrine system's complicated, very complicated. And you try to explain it in a way that
people somebody like me can.
Well, everybody will understand it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because most of the time when I come in there, I want to cut up and talk and tell you, what's going on with your kids? What's going on with my kids? I do. I go in there and find out about you, Forrest, and I tell her about mine and all that. And you're trying to explain to me about my cortisol level. Okay. Okay. So, what's the next thing? Progesterone?
Yeah. So, progesterone, we want to replace.
Because that's a good one.
That's a good one. Sleep promoting,
yes.
Mood stabilizing, increases sex drive, helps get rid of retained fluid. And, you know, when we replace progesterone, it's really sort of hard to overdose progesterone because when we're pregnant, and a lot of people feel their best when they're pregnant, it's because we're making about 400 milligrams of progesterone a day. So people are sort of bathed in progesterone during that time.
All right. Here's an example.
Okay.
I had my last baby up in Morristown. I'm at Morristown, Tennessee, in the middle of nowhere where my husband's from. And I had a nurse practitioner who said to me, Leanne, the last thing you need to do is get pregnant with another baby, because I had three babies in 4.5 years. She put me on progesterone only birth control because I was breastfeeding.
Oh.
And I made casseroles and Jell-O salads for everybody in Morristown. I had three babies under the age of 4 and a half. I've never felt as good in my life, and I have yearned for that feeling ever since. But when I weaned my last baby, I had to go off of it because I had to have some kind of birth control that had
more reliable.
So, but I was on that progesterone only, and I've never felt as good in my life. And I think I did it with their daddy, and he probably bought me presents. And everybody, and he was happier, and he wasn't as much of a butthole because he was doing it. And then the kids, everybody was sleeping good. I had more friends than I cooked for. And think about it, and cooked for my own family. It was crazy.
With tiny children in the house.
Tiny children, and then that all bottomed out, and then I felt, you know, like hell. But anyway, okay, so that's what was going on with me.
So how old were you when you had your third child?
32.
Yeah. So sometimes having the second or third child in the mid-30s when you start perimenopause anyway is sort of a double whammy. Because, you know, after you have a baby, your hormones just crash, you know, and you lose all your hair because progesterone keeps your hair from falling out. That's why women have such great hair during pregnancy.
And then you lose it right at your temples.
Yes.
When you nurse.
You get the Queen Elizabeth look.
Do you love Harry or what? Could you eat Harry's lips off? Harry and Meghan, and I don't care a thing about royalty. I've never been into it, but I'm on fire.
They're adorable.
Oh, darling. But I've been watching The Crown on Netflix. I know. I should be up walking around and exercising. But anyway.
That's a great show, by the way.
It is. Wonderful.
Really great.
Uh-huh.
If you haven't watched that, you need to tune in.
Yes. But Harry, yummy. Darling.
Yes.
And then I watched on CNN about Princess Diana. And I forgot what a horrible life that little thing had. But when I was pregnant with that third baby is when she passed away. Mm. And I was sitting here, you know, pregnant and, you know, making oatmeal and trying to get through. I look back on it. And I haven't felt good in years. Everything that's coming back to me, I didn't feel good. Oh, my gosh.
Do we need to have an on-site therapist during these podcasts?
We might need to. I love a therapist.
I know.
Okay, so progesterone. Get back to that.
Okay, yes, sorry.
No, it's my fault. I went off about Harry.
So there are a few ways to replace progesterone. We can have it compounded, and that we use a compounding pharmacy to make up progesterone as directed by the prescribing provider. And this is bioidentical progesterone. It's identical to what your body produces. And that can be done in cream form, caps, troches, vaginal. There are a lot of different ways to deliver it, when you're compounding especially. Mm-hmm. There are over-the-counter progesterone creams. And I think I mentioned in a previous episode that we'll post a website link for you to click on and get a list of companies who are making progesterone creams that have reliable dosing, which is important because you don't want to goof up your hormones and have the wrong milligram in the amount of cream you're using. If you don't want to use hormones to replace your progesterone, there are supplements like Chasteberry, which is also called Vitex, V-I-T-E-X, that increases the hormone that's secreted from the pituitary gland that sends a message to secrete more progesterone.
Oh.
So it helps boost progesterone levels without taking progesterone. So that's often a good option for some people.
But women don't need to be doing both. Or can they?
Oh, they could do both.
It doesn't matter. Chase Berry's not going to mess with you.
No, but you know, if somebody needs more progesterone and they're on a compounded prescription progesterone, I would just bump up the dose so they're not having to buy two products.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are the main ways we can replace progesterone. And again, as we talked about before, the more you exercise, the more your hormones are balanced. And you know, fat cells make estrogen too. Oh, we didn't talk about that.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, so fat cells make estrone, which is one of our three estrogens that we have in our body. And so if you have a lot of fat cells, you're making a lot of estrogen from there. And estrogen tells you to store fat. So you make more fat cells that secrete estrogen. Yeah. So, you know, staying physically fit helps a lot in terms to reduce estrogen dominance, where you have too much estrogen compared to your progesterone.
Oh, if I could go back in time, I would do better. I would do better. Because I know that helps. I know it does.
It is easier to do the correction, you know, in your 30s. Like if you had had some help right after your last baby, that, you know, we might have avoided the...
curtailed this.
That's right.
You know, I look back there, I'll find pictures of me after second and third babies. And I don't think, bless her heart, I mean, my roots are down to my ears. I didn't get my hair done. I was heavy looking, bloated looking. I mean, I look back and I think, God love her. I will help my girls where they don't have to go through that, you know, because I was by myself. My husband worked all the time. And I don't know how. I mean, you just do what you can to get through.
Yeah. Yeah. And were you living in Bean Station then?
I was living in Morristown.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And not in Bean Station. We lived in Bean Station before I started having the children. And then we moved to, Bean Station, Tennessee, which is beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful lakes and at the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. Mm-hmm. But I was a lonely person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started selling jewelry. You know, I had a degree from the University of Tennessee, but I started selling jewelry to get out and be with women at night because Chuck doesn't talk. And he was working all the time. You know, he's an overachiever and workaholic. So I got out and started. One of my friends said, "Lynn, I sell this line of jewelry. I don't even care about jewelry. Look, I don't even have jewelry out. I don't care." But I got out and ate damp, and I'd put all this jewelry out. I had a big case. I schlepped around the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, and women would buy this little jewelry, and I would get up and talk in their living room, and it saved my life because that's how I got started in comedy, because I started booking so far in advance that like a year out.
Because they didn't care about the jewelry. They just wanted to hear you.
We laughed, and I talked about breastfeeding and hemorrhoids, and Chuck wouldn't wake up in the night when he hear a baby crying. I want to kill him. I mean, all that kind of, you know, that mamas know about.
Yeah.
And so I booked parties throughout East Tennessee, and the company noticed and started asking me to speak at their big national things. So that in regional things, like at Opryland Hotel in Nashville, and then I went to, you know, Dallas, and people would say to me, "You need to be a stand-up comedian." And that's how I got started, but it was...
So you got to ditch the case of jewelry.
Yeah, but that happened over time. But
yeah.
I schlepped that around with the second baby. By the third pregnancy, I was like, I can't be schlepping any jewelry around. And I did not really start comedy, well, till my baby was a year old, when I started getting paid and going and doing.
Yeah.
And really didn't know what I was doing. There were no clubs. But that got me through a hard time because I was able to get out and be with people that were going through the same thing I was going through. And so anyway, that's how that happened.
I think that's interesting that you were able to transition from a jewelry saleswoman to comedy. That's pretty...
Oh, well, thank you, my darling. But I look back on it and had to have been God's plan because I knew in my heart I was going to do comedy someday and be in the entertainment industry since I was five. But then you marry and you move up in the middle of nowhere, and your husband's in a used mobile home. He had a used mobile home business. He was only 26 years old. You know, Chuck, overachiever, smart.
Yeah.
Had this lucrative business. But I was by myself, and I wasn't from there, and I had these babies, which I loved, and I wanted to be, I wanted to have a bunch of babies. But I was, and we would go out to L.A. Before we got married, we'd go to L.A., and I'd go to comedy clubs and stuff. But I did not, and I thought, well, somehow it's going to happen. I don't know how. And then I had, like, my own little comedy club in women's.
That's great.
Living rooms. And mm-hmm. I had the best audience. It was my demographic. And yeah. I developed an act over time. So then when it was an opportunity for me to go to Zany's
in Nashville,
I was ready to go. I already had, I already had an hour of material, and I still think it's some of my best.
That's so great.
You can look it up on Spotify.
Some of your really early stuff.
Yeah. It's about having babies and going through all that. You know, when women go through that, that's a universal thing. Is when you're pregnant and breastfeeding and tired and your hair's falling out and your stomach and you got to get that down. And
yeah, it sort of feels like the baby's just at some points just a parasite feeding off of you.
Yeah, wallering you is what we call it in the country. And just my children just played with my butt, my breast, and. And then their daddy comes home at night and wants to touch you.
Yeah.
And you're like, what in the world? I can't. I just want to poop by myself and I want to be left alone. But that's, you know, that's how God made it. So you have to find out a way to make them happy, too. It's terrible. It's a hard time, a happy time. But it's a hard time in a little mama's life. Then she starts perimenopause. I didn't know it happened that quick.
That happens pretty early. Speaking of that, we're going to next episode talk a little bit more about perimenopause and maybe some other symptoms like the fatigue and weight gain and fluid retention.
Okay. And you can tell people how to
get that under
combat
control.
Combat that.
Yeah.
Yay.
I know. Okay. So much to talk about.
Okay.
And I'm very impressed by the fact that you can use the word schlep and wallering in the same conversation.
Yiddish. You know, I've always loved people from New York. I mean, I've been around the entertainment industry, so I've heard the schlepping and the
I know, I'm impressed.
Chutzpah.
That's right. That's
all
good.
That. Yeah, thank
so
you.
So good to throw that in there.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Broadway.
So we'll see you next episode.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Bye-bye. Sweaty and pissed. Sweaty. Me sweaty and pissed.